Good morning and welcome to Burlington East. Please be seated. My name is Bob Dickerson and I'm the duty elder for today. And I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests that are with us and please ask that they join us for fellowship in the Douglas Hall after the service. And if they'd be so kind as to sign our guest book in the narthex, that would be very much appreciated. So you have the bulletin in front of you. It's a little book today. It's that time of year where it's kind of full. Just a couple of announcements, probably more than a couple that I want to just bring to your attention. Be sure that you read through. First, the Women's Auxiliary is holding a potluck lunch this Wednesday, and they've extended an invite to all ladies, notice ladies, of the congregation to join them for the potluck lunch. So if you're not a member of the WA and you'd like to join, just let them know that you're coming. You heard Renata talk about this last week. Creef Hills is once again doing the Christmas lunch, the Creef Hills Retreat. It's a wonderful buffet turkey lunch with all the trimmings. We all had a great time last year and we expect it to be repeated again this year. So if you would like tickets to go to that or to come to that, please see Renata after the service. I'm sure she'll be running around downstairs and you'll be able to get your name on the list. You can order your Christmas flowers today. They're all set up downstairs. And I believe this is the last Sunday that Janine is collecting money for the Christian Children's Fund, so I'd ask that you help to support that as well. And there's probably more in there. Don't forget about the time capsule. We need a few things to put into that time capsule. It won't be worth sealing up in a few weeks from now. And with that, I will turn it over to Reverend McCants for a brief announcement.
You'll notice in the bulletin that there is mention of the Children's Wish program that we've been running here for quite a number of years at Burlington East. And I have a letter here that goes with this to the families, and I'd like to just take a moment and read that. It's to Christmas Miracle. Thank you for taking this child's name to be the Christmas miracle in his or her life. And I use the word miracle in that without you, this child, the child that you will sign up for potentially, would not have any Christmas gift. I cannot imagine being a child and having Christmas in 2017 without some kind of gift. Please check over his or her wish list and choose accordingly. Your gifts should not be wrapped, but brought to the church with suitable and sufficient wrapping paper. This will be given to the parent who can sort of take ownership and wrap the gifts to their for their child. Now, the timeline's a bit tight. We only have 2 weeks, so it'll be necessary for you to bring back the gifts on December 17, and we would stress the return of the gifts on December 17, as storage around here is a bit limited. The gifts will be picked up by the parents on Wednesday, December the 20th, and any not picked up on the 20th will be delivered to the school principal, who in turn will arrange to get the gifts to the parents. And please make sure that you return the envelope with the code number as well as the child's wish list in the parcel or bag so we can properly process it. Thank you again, and we hope that this will enrich the Christmas season for not only the children but all of us. So far we have 11 families, and that represents 32 children that are in need this year. It's something that we've done, as I said, for a number of years, coordinating with a local school. And even though it would appear that we're in a relatively, I wouldn't say affluent, but well-to-do enough neighborhood, I know in past years, speaking with the principal at the one school that we work with, many children are bused in from other areas in Burlington. So they're coming from areas that are not doing as well, maybe. And when you see these single-family homes and whatnot, they're coming from Ontario housing areas and whatnot, being bused into this catchment. So there is a lot of need, and it is much appreciated. We've had letters over the years expressing just heartfelt, and you know, it brings tears to your eyes, the joy that gets expressed. So, Burl, wave your hand. Burl will be downstairs collecting names for that and giving out the envelopes for you, so please see her after church downstairs. We have a very busy Sunday this morning, and lots to consider. But just before we do, let's just take a moment now to gather our thoughts for worship this morning. call on Bill and Esther French to come up and lead us in our call to worship.
What do we wait for?
When we turn away, God's deeds become hidden from us. We forget God's ways and lose hope in a world of terror and tears.
We are God's people, the work of God's hands. The light of God will shine upon us, that we may be saved.
Keep us alert and waiting with hope, expecting that God will come to save us, to forgive us, to restore us, and shape us to be the people of God.
We wait for Christ to come, the great hour and glory.
Thank you, Bill and Esther. We'll join together now in our first hymn today, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, number 139. Come before God now with our prayers of adoration and confession. Like a faded dry leaf that the wind blows away, our sins dry us up. Faded and brittle, we are carried off by the wrongs that we have often done. And yet God still loves us and is able to restore and renew us with the water of life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of power that's unexpected, we want you to tear open the heavens and come down, to make mountains quake, waters boil, and stars to fall until all nations tremble at your presence. But you will not perform according to our wants and whims. Instead, you come at Christmas and this Advent time of anticipation. Instead, you come like the sound of sheer silence, very, very quiet, very still. Instead, you are born among us as an infant. Instead, you show us how love is made perfect in weakness. So we will stay alert at this time of Advent, or at least we will try, Lord, because we are your people, and there is no other God besides you. Lord, we come before you as well, acknowledging that you are a merciful God. And we confess, Lord, that during times such as this every year, when Advent comes around and we get into November and into December, we get distracted. We get even a bit weary in our discipleship and in our walk with you. Our schedules get very busy, Lord, and we rush around trying to get everything done, get our work done, get our homes prepared, get shopping done. We're captivated by all the rushing sometimes, and we're seduced by that lure of getting the right things done just at the right time. And we do not always remain alert to your divine presence in our lives and in our church and in our world. And so, Lord, today as we think of Advent and the hope that you give us and in that anticipation of your return, make us better doorkeepers of our lives, watching for you always attentively. Awaken us to your surprising power and glory and peace, so we do not miss how near you are to our very open gates. Lord, continue to be gracious towards us, we pray, until we are gathered from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven into your embrace. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us. Thank you, Lord, that you walk with us. Thank you, Lord, that you help us when we are weak. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who was and certainly is to come. Amen. The grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus strengthens us to the end so that we may be blameless when Christ comes again. That's what Advent's all about. Thanks be to God who is faithful and has called us into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Clark. We join now in our children's hymn, Hope is a Star, 119, and during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward. Hope is a Star, 119. Be seated. So, do you know what today is? I know it's Sunday, but do you know what else today is? It's December. That's right, December 3rd. It's Sunday, December 3rd, and it's the first Sunday of
Advent.
Very good, Madeline. You're very good. You're right on top of that. And do you know what Advent is all about? Anybody have any idea? Well, look around. We're all kind of decorated here. What's coming up? Christmas is coming up. Advent comes, it means waiting for something to happen. It's an old word, and that's what it kind of means. So we're in anticipation of something that's going to happen. And, well, we have to stay awake, and we have to be alert. And especially on Christmas Eve, we're always awake and alert, right? It's hard to go to bed on Christmas Eve. But when we think about Advent, the whole month of December is getting ready for something. What's one way that we can stay awake? I'll put it better. How do you wake up in the morning? Who wakes you up in the morning?
Nobody.
Nobody wakes you up in the morning? You just wake up? Yeah? Who wakes you up, buddy? Hey? Does mommy or daddy wake you up? Yeah? Hey? Yeah? I bet you guys, does mommy or daddy wake you up too? No, you just wake up? Wow. I wish that would work for me because, you see, I have to use this to really fully wake up. What is that? Yeah, it's coffee, that's right. This is how I wake up in the morning. I wake up, but before I get my coffee, I have my alarm clock, which is my phone. That's what wakes me up. And let's see if I can find it. Let's see what wakes me up in the morning. I see. I'm going to see if I can find it. Here we go. That's what wakes me up every morning. And you can ask my wife, who's sitting there, how many times it goes off before I actually get up. Because it's got snooze. And so it goes off a lot. But then when I get up, I have my coffee, and I have my two big mugs of coffee every morning to wake me up. And that gets me all alert and ready to go, sort of. But we have to stay ready because something wonderful is going to happen. And that's a little box I'm holding. Something wonderful is going to happen through Advent and at Christmas Eve in particular. And we sang sort of about that this morning in our first hymn. Who's this? It's an angel. And it's an angel that's coming to tell us something very special. What does the angel tell us on Christmas? Remember what the angel tells the shepherds? Birth of Jesus is going to happen. And that's really what Christmas is all about. And I'll let you guys, there's the angel that goes with that. Oops. And the angel came and said to the shepherds, why are you sitting around? You should be ready. The king has been born. So all through Advent, we're going to be ready for the king to be born. And as we go through Advent, we're together going to set up I've got a little thing we can set up to put all the different characters in. And we can set that up here and we can leave it here when we get going. But today, we have the angel tell us to be alert and awake And you may not always use your phone or coffee, but just to be ready to go, anticipation of Jesus being born. Boys and girls, let's say a little prayer together about Advent, and then we'll go off to Sunday school. Here we go. I'll just pray. You can just hear. Lord, we thank you for these children, and we thank you that they're going off to Sunday school. We thank you for Advent, a time when we're waiting and being ready for you to be born. And we celebrate that at Christmas, the time when you brought hope into this world, hope that is something only you can truly give us. Lord, we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls, and off to Sunday school. We'll sing the last two verses of our hymn, Seated. As I said, at the top of our service, we have a number of special things that will be taking place in this service today, and one of those special things that's taking place is the ordination and induction of two elders within our congregation. 1 Corinthians 12, and some selected verses from there, tells us the following. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each one is given a gift by the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ, and individually we are members of it. Though we have different gifts, together we are called to be a church with a ministry in the world which is led truly by the risen Christ. And today, we have something very special. We are adding two new elders. We had a congregational meeting a few weeks ago and approved this. And today is the day when we have the ordination of a new elder and the induction of both of these elders, one that's returning. Bob, I'll call on you to explain some of that.
Yes, so we had a need to add a couple elders to the session due to a couple elders having to step back for various reasons. So session with input from the congregation had approached a few people, and two individuals came forward as being willing to let their name stand for to become an elder at the church. Session approved that for presentation to the congregation, and at the November 19th congregational meeting, we had two people approved to become elders by the congregation. So Reverend McCanch, on behalf of the session and the people of the congregation, I present to you Susan Lee, and request that you now proceed to ordain her as an elder and admit her to the session. And I also present to you Jean Fortune, and request that you now proceed to reaffirm her as an elder and readmit her to the session.
Thank you, Bob. And I will explain for those of you who may be new, and I know there's a few that are new, the reason I've called on Bob is the clerk of our session. So he runs the session in that respect. I moderate the session, and it's taken me a long time to understand what moderating means because I'm used to chairing meetings. And when I was chairing meetings back in my business days, when the meeting got unruly, I would just say, meeting's over because I'm leaving, because when the chair's gone, it's done. But apparently that's not how you moderate. Moderator is more of a referee, if you like, who keeps things moving forward. And I couldn't do that without Bob's lots of help, and Bob knows the rules and keeps all our notes and everything in good and working order. Hear this, what the Presbyterian Church believes regarding the ministry of ruling elders, and I'll explain that elders are classified into two groups. There's teaching elders, which I am, and ruling elders, which the rest of our session is made up of. This was approved in 1971, revised in 92, and again in 98. All ministries of the church proceed from and are sustained by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king, the minister of the covenant of grace. By the operation of God's word and spirit, the church is gathered, equipped, and sent out to participate in this ministry. All members of the church are called to share the gospel with the world and to offer to the Father the worship and service that are due to the Creator from the creation, through Christ, the only mediator, until he comes again. That the church may be continually renewed and nurtured for ministry, Christ furnishes the church with pastors and teachers. He requires and enables the church to discern and to confirm by ordination those whom he calls to this pastoral and teaching office. The standards of his church he entrusts in a special degree of responsibility to their care. The form of Presbyterial church government of the Westminster Assembly reminds us that Christ has furnished some in the church, besides the ministers of the word, with gifts for government and with commission to execute the same when called thereunto, who are to join with the minister in the government of the church, which officers, Reformed churches commonly call elders. The Presbyterian Church in Canada is bound only to Jesus Christ, the church's king and head. The scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, as the written word of God, testifying to Christ, the living word, are the canon of all doctrine by which Christ rules our faith and life. We acknowledge our historic continuity with the Holy Catholic Church and our doctrinal heritage in the ecumenical creeds and the confessions of the Reformation. Our subordinate standards of the Westminster Confession of Faith is adopted in 1875 and 1889. The Declaration of Faith Concerning Church and Nation of 1954, Living Faith is adopted in 1998, and such doctrine as the Church in obedience to Scripture and under the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit may yet confess in the Church's continuing functioning of reformulating the faith. Now that's a lot of fancy words in one sense, but it's a very clear statement, if you sit and read through it carefully, that says Jesus is our King, and the scriptures are what we get all our doctrine and reference from. And the people that help us understand that and work that through in our congregation are our ruling elders. And so our elders are not just there for the government of our congregation, but for the pastoral care and the teaching within our congregation. And it's a called position. Called just as if I was called to be a minister, our elders are called to be elders and pastors and teachers in their own right. Susan, can I have you come forward? Susan Lee, that your faith in God and your integrity of purpose may be declared before God and all people, you are required in terms of this preamble to answer the questions appointed for all who would enter the office of ruling elder. And you can reply with, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, made known in His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom the Holy Spirit witnesses in the witnesses of Scripture in Old and New Testament?
I do.
Do you accept the subordinate standards of this church, promising to uphold its doctrine under the continual illumination and correction of the Holy Spirit speaking in Scriptures, and to be guided thereby in fostering Christian belief, worship, and service among the people? Do you accept the government of this church by sessions, presbyteries, synods, and general assemblies, and do you promise to share in and submit yourself to all lawful oversight therein, and to follow no divisive course, but to seek peace and unity of Christ among your people and throughout the Holy Church? In accepting the office of elder, do you promise to perform your duties in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, striving to build up His church and strengthen its mission in the world? May the Lord bless you and give you the grace to keep these vows. Jean, I'm going to call you up now, too. Jean, you are reaffirming your call to eldership. We have a cycle, so we have elders, once ordained, always ordained. So once you're in, you're always in. But our elders serve actively on a six-year cycle. And Jean has been ordained as an elder in the past, and she is now today reaffirming that and stepping forward to become an active elder. So as I said, you are reaffirming your call to eldership, and that your faith in God and your integrity of purpose may be declared before God and all people. You're required again, in terms of this preamble, to reaffirm the questions appointed for all who would enter the office of ruling elder. Do you reaffirm those vows at this time? May the Lord bless you. Very simple, isn't it? The Lord bless you and keep you and give you grace to keep these vows. Now I would ask the congregation to please stand as you are able. Because I have questions for you. Because this is a team effort. We are a body in Christ working together to His glory. The ordination of elders in a congregation, if their leadership and ministry are to be fruitful, involves responsibilities for both elders and the people of the church. These questions, therefore, I direct to you, the members and adherents of this congregation, so that you may renew your obligations to this shared ministry. You will answer, as I ask these questions, the same we do. Do you confess your faith in God as creator and ruler of this world, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your inspiration and strength? Do you receive Susan Lee and Jean Fortune as elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead you in the way of Christ? Do you agree to encourage them to respect their decisions as they guide you, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? And now may the Lord bless you and give you the grace to keep these promises. Please be seated. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We praise and glorify you, Lord God Almighty, for you have created us and called us to yourself. You have redeemed us in your Son, Jesus Christ. You sustain our lives and our works through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. Almighty God, in every age you have chosen servants to speak your word and lead your people. We thank you for the men and women who you called to serve you as ruling elders. We thank you specifically for these two ladies who have been called this day. By the power of your Spirit, develop in them the gifts of ministry. May they have the same mind that was in Christ, serving you in the world as long as they shall live, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of grace, who baptizes us in common ministry as ambassadors of Christ, who called us to be a priesthood of all believers, who entrusted us to the message of reconciliation, we pray for courage and discipline to follow where your elders rightly lead us, that together we may declare your mighty acts and show your love to the world through Christ, who is ruler of all. And now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the only King and Head of Church, and by the authority invested in me by the Presbytery of Hamilton, I now declare that you have been ordained and inducted as ruling elders and admit you to this session of this congregation. As it says in Scripture, whatever you do in word or action, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through Him. Amen. And I'll ask all our elders to come forward, and you guys can stand here. It's easier if you do it this way. Then the congregation can see more than just your backs. And extend the right hand of fellowship. God bless you. God bless you. I'll move over here. Let's welcome them. Thank you. Thank you. It's always tough to get up in front of the crowd and have all that happen, but we do thank you for your willingness to be called. And it is a call of God to be an elder, and we thank for all our elders. It's a lot of work that goes into taking care of a congregation, and it's a special call indeed. As we prepare to hear God's word read in a moment, let us now bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for our two new elders. We thank you for all of our elders, those who are actively serving right now, those who are taking a break, those who are sitting at the side resting in ways that they need. We thank you for their call, that sense of call you've given them. Gracious God of heaven and earth, as we come before to hear your scriptures this morning, we know that this earth will pass away, but your words will not pass away. Your word stands forever. May our generation be attentive so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we remember your ways and gladly do right, meeting you wherever and whenever you appear. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our response to Psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 80, verses 1 to 7, and then 17 to 19. Psalm 79 and Psalm 80 are kind of a pair put together. Psalm 80 addresses the shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. And Psalm 79 says, we, your people, we are the flock of your pasture. So there's definitely a reference there of sheep and shepherd and who's in which position, and they do nicely knit together. These two psalms are speaking of a loss and a need for restoration of a relationship with God. And they are talking, as we'll read through some of our other scriptures, the same kind of theme is there. The idea of let your face shine is repeated in this particular psalm. Let God let your face shine upon us. It's the image here is kind of like a parent smiling at a baby. And if you smile at a baby, you know, and you see that they glow back, and it's that sense of your face shining on them, and they reflect it back with a smile. But we can do that with one another. But we really see that in this sense with a small baby, and that God's face is smiling on us, and it fills us with joy and happiness. So let's read responsively Psalm 80, 1 to 7, and 17 to 19. Our Old Testament reading is found from Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. That's on page 694 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Again, this is a crying out to God. And in Isaiah, they've been cast away from their homeland. And there's that sense that God is angry with them. And clearly, Isaiah is talking about that many times. And the cry is, please do not be angry with us any longer. And the theme that is coming out again, the shining of God's face, the return of God in their lives, and that God may fulfill that part of their life and give them that sense of hope. And that really fits with today's Advent theme of hope. It is written in that sense, crying to God, O Lord, don't remember what we've done, please let us move forward. And when we pray to God, they're reminding themselves and God that has to help them after he said he was going to help the people. They are a people of promise, just as we are a people of promise. And in that sense, in that Jewish sense of approaching this, you know, God, you said we were your people. You really have to help us. You can't just let us down here because we are yours. And please fulfill that. Isaiah 64, beginning at verse 1. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you and your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are your people. Our New Testament reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, and that's on page 166 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. It's kind of a formal greeting in this letter, but it's clear to remember that there's that same message that we hear a little bit here in Isaiah, that we are God's chosen people. We are God's called people, and that we are therefore not lacking in anything because we belong to God. 1 Corinthians 1, 3 to 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, 24 to 37, page 50 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. And as I've been saying, this is our first Sunday in Advent. The church is telling the Christian story once again, that birth of Christ. The gospel reading today is starting at the end rather than the beginning. This passage is a portion which is often called the little apocalypse in a way. It puts us in the presence of the adult Jesus, offering both prophetic judgment and prophetic comfort. He anticipates the end times when the heavens will literally quake and stars will begin to fall. But the Son of Man is coming. And Advent takes us to a babe in a manger, but it also causes us to traverse across the cosmos. And we see this sort of advice given sometimes quoted by the director Cecil B. DeMille, start with an earthquake and then build to a climax. Today we have that great earthquake, and Advent is taking us to that climax of Christmas. So much at stake in this season. Mark 13, beginning at verse 24. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you will know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, our Advent hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, number 110. As I said, there's very much going on in our service today, but we don't want to skip over anything in particular. We noticed that, as I said to the children, the church has been beautifully decorated. There's very much here to remind us of Christmas coming, an Advent that is on its, we're in the midst of, I guess, and beginning today. And something that comes up every year, you know, and I've been doing this for a long time, but every year I get asked about the Advent wreath. So I did some research on the Advent wreath, and it's very new, the concept of the Advent wreath. From what I understand, it was basically put together around 1839, 1840 by a gentleman in Germany. And he was running an inner city, believe it or not, in 1839, an inner city youth program. And it was for young children. And as they approached Christmas, at the beginning of December, the children kept saying, is today Christmas, is today Christmas. And so what he did to help them with this is he went out and got a cart wheel or a big wagon wheel, and he put 24 little red candles around it and four white candles, larger ones. So every day when they would gather together for prayer, he would light one of the red candles and say, that's how many, see how many, all the unlit candles, that's how far away Christmas is. And then on the Sundays, he would light the white candle. And that kind of melded out into what we now have with five candles. And that matches what we do during Lent. And when we celebrate this Christ's crucifixion on the cross and the weeks that lead up to that. And during Lent, we light a candle every week as well, and they are purple as well, and purple is a royal color. Purple is a color of repentance and color of penitence in general in the church's history. So Advent is a time when we're anticipating Jesus' coming the first time and his birth, but it's also a time when we are to be reflective in that penitent sense. So the question that comes up is, why is there a pink one? Well, even during Lent, when we're supposed to be thinking sort of quiet, somber, sad thoughts, the third Sunday of Lent, the third Sunday of Advent, is themed after joy. And pink reminds us of joy. And pink is still in the same color category as purple. And I know that sounds kind of, I guess, well, anyway, that's the idea, is it's tying it together and the attempt to tie it all together. So that even though we're being repentant and penitent during these 4 weeks, one of those weeks, we don't want to forget the joy that Christ gives us. The Christ candle in the center is often lit on Christmas Eve or even Christmas morning. We do that on Christmas Eve here in our church. And then that candle is represented here on this candle that we light every week after Christmas. So when I say we're lighting the Christ candle this Sunday to remind us of Christ's coming to the world and being present in our worship, it's that white Christ candle that we light in memory of Him, of His birth and coming into this world the first time, that we carry with us through the entire year. It's important, I believe, for us as Christian people today, especially in the modern world in which we live, to understand some of the things that we do and maybe almost take for granted. Yeah, we have an Advent candles and we have an Advent wreath. Why do we do that? Well, one of the things, as I said, is to remind us from week to week that Christ is coming. Christ changed this world. And in that sense, the purple is reminding us to be quiet and reflective in the anticipation of that time when Christ was born, to be repentant of the things that we have done wrong in preparation for Christmas and ultimately as we move down in the year into Easter and Lent. It's important for us to understand what we do in our churches these days, because much of what is in church is here for a reason. Well, everything that we do in church is here for a reason. And sometimes as time has gone by, we've lost why we are doing certain things. It's interesting, in the years that I've been involved in so many different denominations and churches and congregations around Ontario and really across Canada, some of the churches I've gone to, they say we don't have an order of service because we just let the Spirit guide us. And yet if I go to that church 2 or 3 weeks in a row, every Sunday they read some Bible scripture readings, and they have some prayers, they sing some hymns, and there's a sermon. And yes, they're letting the Spirit of God guide them, but there is an order of service. There's a reason that we do these things. There's a reason that we have these things put in a certain order. There's a reason we light these candles. And it's, if you spend some time and kind of understand why they're there, I think it helps us open up the depth of the heritage that we have inherited. And we are the people of God's Word. And the Old Testament, the New Testament, is a book of history in so many ways. It's a history, a historical account of God at work with His people, that God at work in the lives of God's people in a successful and positive way. That's why we read Scripture, to remind us that God is with us. These Scriptures that we read this morning, in particularly in Isaiah, the people are saying, God, You hid Your face from us, and what did we do? We misbehaved. We didn't do what You asked us to do. Please show Your face to us again. Bring us back into the right way of living. Understanding Scripture and understanding the things that we do in church in the season of Advent is a time for us to renew the hope, especially that word today, hope. The hope that God gives us in Christ, in Christ's coming. The hope that our lives can change and do change. I wanted to point out, if you see the bulletin cover this week, the children in our Sunday school put this together, and every week across the next few weeks of Advent, we're going to have, the children are designing different covers, each one with a different word, and today's word being hope. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in His life, living in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. God has enriched us in every way. Let us now come before God with our tithes and our offerings. Gracious God, we thank you for Advent. We thank you for the hope that you give us through Advent. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us, and we pray, Lord, a blessing on this, our offering, that it can be used to your glory, to your work, and as we anticipate the return of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we have been doing for quite a number of months now, we'll offer our prayers for the people and prayers for situations. Our world has not, seems at times, does not have very much hope. We pray for a world today that can have hope, a hope that tomorrow can be better and more positive. But through Christ, this can be made possible. But we also have been using this time to say people's names out loud who are in your lives and need prayer. And so take that time. As I've been saying from week to week, this is important, and I'm truly touched by your act of faith, everyone, as you say these names out loud. We don't know what's going on when we hear someone's first name. You do, and God knows, and we are uniting our hearts around that need. So we'll have an opportunity during this prayer to say those names out loud and trust God with them. Let's bow our heads. God of power and glory, we do remember your awesome deeds across the ages as we reflect on what we do in church and what Scripture means, and we think about all the times that you've acted so well in our lives. You've saved us and you've brought us home. Remember times maybe when we felt alone or afraid, or when we had done something that wasn't right, but you forgave us and you helped us to make it right. So Lord, we're praying now for the people in our lives, and everybody here knows somebody in their life who's in need. Whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's a physical need, whether it's getting a job or getting well from being ill, whatever it may be, Lord, you know that need, and you've touched the heart of somebody in this room today to say that person's name out loud, and we can center ourselves and hold it up in unison to you. And we know, Lord, that you listen. So let your face shine upon us, God, as we say these names now and hold them up to you in faith. You hear every name, Lord, that's been spoken out loud, and you hear the names that have been said silently, too. We thank you for these acts of faith, Lord, that have spoken these names out. And we pray, Lord, that you will intercede in their lives and make a difference. You are a God of hope, a God of love, a God of peace, and a God of joy. We hold this to you, Lord, because we know that you listen. And we know that you act, and you do not leave us alone. Lord, make your face shine upon this act of faith, and be with all of these names and situations that we've held up. We pray this all in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Now we come before God in our time of communion, and a wonderful time to have communion. here on the first Sunday of Advent, and on a Sunday when we have two new elders in our midst, and this is the first Sunday of the new year for us in our Christian calendar year, and it's a joyful time for us to be considering all of this. So here are the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this also in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord Jesus until he comes. With thanksgiving, we offer God our grateful praise. Join together now and sing verse 3 of number 534. "All who hunger, gather gladly." Please remain standing as we recite together, as printed in your bulletin, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We'll turn to number 564 in your hymnals for the liturgy that we use here in this church for our great prayer of thanksgiving. At the end, we'll be saying the Lord's Prayer, not as printed, but the one that we say with debts and debtors here on Sundays. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Lord, as with joy we praise you, gracious God. You created heaven and you created earth and you made us in your image. Lord, you've kept covenant with us. Even when we fell into sin and turned our backs to you, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, his death, and his resurrection opened to us a way of everlasting life. Therefore, we join our voices with the whole of creation to lift our hearts in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, he gave us this great memorial of his sacrifice, and to repeat this and remember it until he comes again. At his Last Supper, the Lord took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way, he took a cup after that supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord our God, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and this cup on this table this morning may be for us the symbol of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ. Lord, churches across this city, across this country today, on this, the first Sunday of Advent, are celebrating communion. We are united not only with Christ, mostly with Christ, and most importantly with Christ, but we are united with Christ's people. Every congregation right now is saying these words and uniting their hearts in communion. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. And Lord, we pray now the prayer that you taught us, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we share the same loaf. The cup for which we give thanks is a sharing of the blood of Christ. The cup that we drink is our participation in the blood of Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared this table. It's His table for all who love Him and trust Him alone for their salvation. For all who are sorry for their sins and who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and who desire to live in obedience to Him as Lord, all are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. Thank you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take, eat the gift of God.